Pentecost is very significant and very strategic in God's will and God's purposes for humanity. In God's will and God's purposes for you and I and eternal life. Praise God. And so, this morning, I'm going to share from the topic, the priestly anointing of the believer. The priestly anointing of the believer. Now, what is going to come out here is that every believer has a priestly anointing. But we need to understand, it is not every believer that is a pastor or a bishop or a prophet or an apostle. But every believer has a priestly anointing. And God, it is God's desire that every believer understand that they have a priestly ministry to carry out in their lifetime here on earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your words are spirit and they are life. And Lord, I pray that every word that proceeds from my mouth will be spirit and life. Thank you, Lord. I pray for your anointing, O God. Hallelujah. I pray that you will anoint me even now to preach afresh, to preach the gospel to the poor. Send me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. In the name of Jesus, I cast down every hindrance to the listening of persons listening to this sermon now. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that every person will receive wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, once again, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. So, I'm going to be looking at, you know, what God's word has to say to us about us being priests of God. Right? God, we cannot identify ourselves as priests of God unless the word of God says so. The word of God has to say so. Amen? So, we're going to look at what the word of God has to say about the priestly ministry of the believer. And then after that, we're going to look at the anointing that is upon the believer's life. Amen? Praise God. We're going to trace it from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 6 to 7 in the New King James Version. It says, and God here is speaking to the children of Israel, the redeemed children of Israel. He's saying, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. You shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Praise God. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Wow. What a promise. Amen. What a promise. Hallelujah. The Israelites were to constitute the Lord's kingdom. The people who acknowledge him as their king. Amen. And as believers, we too should have already acknowledged Jesus Christ as king. Praise God. In their priestly role, the Israelites were to be channels of God's grace to the nations. Channels of God's grace to the nations. As Christians, we are called to be channels of God's grace. Of God's grace. Amen. As believers, we have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Praise God. Amen. That means, you know, that the first king there is God as king. And the second king is the other kings. The other persons who are in authority. And remember, the Bible says that all authority is of God. In other words, God puts authority into place. Hallelujah. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 14, it says that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. So Jesus Christ, what is it saying is that Jesus Christ will be coming back. He will be coming back again. He who is the blessed and only potentate. And only potentate. Who is a potentate? He's a ruler or monarch who is autocratic. A ruler or a monarch who is autocratic. We need to understand that God is an autocratic God. Amen? God expects that when he gives us a commandment, when he gives us an instruction, that we carry out that commandment or that instruction. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality. Only God has immortality. Only God cannot die. Dwelling in unapproachable light. Praise God. In God there is no darkness. There is no hopelessness. There is no sin. There is no wickedness. In God there is unapproachable light. And it says, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. God has called us to be channels of God's grace to the nations. Amen. And that's a very important aspect of the priestly ministry. God has called us to be channels of his grace to the nations. But before I go on, you know, I just want to say here, just want to emphasize about two things in this passage. It says, instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. In other words, as a priest of God, whatever shameful experiences you have experienced in the past, God is saying that he's going to remove that shame, because he has actually removed it on the cross. And he says, I'm going to give you double honor. It doesn't matter who remembers what your life was in the past. It doesn't matter who remembers what you experienced, what you suffered. God is saying, I have removed your shame. I have removed your shame, and I have given you double honor. So what that means is that when the devil comes and reminds you of your past, when the devil comes and reminds you of your shameful experiences, you can reject it. You can reject it. Because God has removed your shame and he has given you double honor. Hallelujah. What a God. What a wonderful God we serve. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house." Amen? So each of us are spiritual stones. And stones are being used to build a spiritual house, which is the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. The body of Jesus Christ. It says, a holy priesthood. In other words, it is the Bible is saying, Peter is saying here, that we are a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. And what is our function? It says our function is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So every believer has a priestly function. And one of those functions is that we must offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen? So if you are a believer, or if you say you are a believer and you are not offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God, something is wrong. You have a very important aspect of your life that is missing. Amen? In Romans 12, and I'm going to give you an example of a spiritual sacrifice. Amen? In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore," watch this, "brethren, by the mercies of God," amen, we're gonna see an example of what is a spiritual sacrifice now, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Amen. That's one of the ways in which we worship God. We present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, I like the word living. Living. Because, let me tell you, this body is alive. And there's a part of this body that does not want to serve God. It is living. It is alive. And there are times when our bodies, they rail up and they rebel against what God wants us to do. Amen? But this is the sacrificial aspect. The sacrificial aspect of it is that when our bodies want to participate in sin, when our bodies want to rebel against the word of God, we sacrificially say no. No. We sacrificially decide in our minds that we will not satisfy the sinful desires of the body, but instead we're going to serve God. We're going to obey God. We're going to do the will of God. That's a living sacrifice. Amen? And it's not easy. It's not easy. It says, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen? So, your body, there's a part of you that wants to tell a lie. The Bible is saying it is reasonable that you don't tell a lie. It is reasonable that you say no to the body. Amen? Your body might be tempted to commit fornication or adultery, and the word of God says it is reasonable. The devil would say God is unreasonable, you know. But word of God is saying it is reasonable that you stand up and you say, "No, I will not sin against God." Amen? That's reasonable. Hallelujah. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world." Do not be conformed to this world. Praise God. Recently, I applied to a company for internet services for the church. And you know, this young man, he thought that he was doing me a favor. Now, the church is supposed to be registered as a commercial entity. And he was saying to me that if I'm in agreement, he could, you know, he could do a thing and let the church be registered as a home. So I said to him, but wouldn't that be lying? Wouldn't that be lying? That would be telling a lie. And he said, as a Christian, I cannot lie. He said, it is very expensive. It's much more expensive if you register the church as a commercial entity. I said, well, that doesn't matter to me. God will provide. It doesn't matter to me. I cannot tell a lie. Praise God. So you see, but the Bible says that we must not be conformed to this world. It doesn't matter how much money we will save. It doesn't matter what the world has to offer us. But we must not be conformed to this world. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. It says, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You see, I am speaking to the man from a renewed mind. I'm speaking to the man from a mind that has been touched by the Spirit of God and convicted of righteousness. It says, I love this. Then it says, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable. And what is the acceptable, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Think about that. Is there anyone here who wants to know what the perfect will of God is? Only two people? Praise the Lord. Can you just lift your hand and say, praise the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. So, well, there's a formula here. If you can call it that. There's a formula here. It says, if you want to know what the good, if you want to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is, we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We must offer our bodies as living sacrifices unto God. We must not conform to the pattern of this world if we want to know what is the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you ever had a sinner or a church person who is not walking in the will of God try to tell you what the will of God is? The Bible tells me that you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind for you to know the will of God. Amen? As priests, it is very important that our minds be renewed so that we may prove what is the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. Unlike the Old Testament priesthood, in which only those who were born into a certain tribe could be priests. You had to be born into the tribe of Levi to be a priest. I thank God I wasn't born in the Old Testament time. I couldn't deal with it. I could not deal with it. Amen? You had to be born in the tribe of Levi in order to be a priest. But all who are reborn in God's family, that is all believers, are priests who have the privilege and responsibility of offering spiritual sacrifices to God. Amen? So, you can't just be born again, you know, come to the altar or wherever and give your heart to Jesus and you don't offer spiritual sacrifices unto God. Amen? Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 to 6. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Doesn't say here the first person to be raised from the dead. It says the firstborn from the dead. That there were persons who were raised from the dead in the Old Testament before Jesus Christ came. But the firstborn from the dead means that he's the first person that has risen from the dead and will never die. All those who were raised from the dead in the Old Testament, they died again. But he's the first one to be raised from the dead and not die again. The firstborn. And who will be the second? The church. You and I. You and I. That's the hope of our resurrection. Amen. Praise God. So, all who are reborn into God's family, that is, all believers, are priests. Amen. Now, it goes on in Revelation 1, 5 to 6. It says, to him who loved us. I love that. Loved us and washed us from our sins. If you notice, he first loved us while we were deep in sin. He loved us. He first loved us. You see, for you to deal with a sinner, you have to love the sinner. You have to have the love of God inside of you. You know, some believers, they say, well, you know, I cannot speak to a sinner. I cannot associate with a sinner. But Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Hallelujah. So we have to love them and tell them about Jesus. We have to love them and let them know that although they are sinners, that God loves them and God desires to wash them from their sins. And if you are here today or online and you have never repented of your sins and given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm saying to you that God loves you and God wants to wash you from your sins. Hallelujah. And you just need to repent. Repent. Repentance simply means, Lord, I am sorry. I am truly sorry that I've sinned against you. And Lord, I am going to change my life. I want you to change my life, and I want to live as you would have me to live. Praise God. Amen. So it says, so he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I love that. In the Old Testament, it was sheep blood, goat blood, dog blood, all kinds of blood. But Jesus, he came and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. I love that. Own blood. I mean, that he has put everything into it. He's put everything into it. Praise God. Put his life. And then it says, watch this, verse 6. And has made us kings and priests. He has made us. We are not related to Levi. We are not of the tribe of Levi. So God had to step in and make us priests. He had to ignore the traditions of religion and he stepped in and he made us priests despite our imperfections. Amen? He washed us from our sins. Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. So, Every believer has a priestly ministry. God has made us priests. But priests unto who? Unto God and Father. His God and Father. We are priests of God. We are priests unto God and His Father. Amen? Praise God. So we have a priestly ministry. It says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelations 5, 9 to 10. Wow. It says, and they sang a new song. Praise God. Did you hear that? They sang a new song. You have some people in the church, they say, give me that old time religion. They say they don't want any new song. They don't want any contemporary song. They just want the old time religion. But here we see in Revelations 5, 9 to 10, it says, and they sang a new song. Praise God. Maybe some people come to upper room, come into church and say, boy, every week they have a new song. Why they have so many new songs? Well, we're following the scripture. Amen. The scripture says, and they sang a new song. Hallelujah. Saying, and this is very important, I'm going to tell you why they sang a new song. Amen. There's a reason. But what did they say in the new song? They said, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I don't know about you, but you know what I see in there? Every race, every ethnicity, every language. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. There it is again. In other words, it's not just one place in the Bible that it says that God made us priests. Kings and priests. Incidentally, what does a king have? A king has authority. Amen? He rules. He has a dominion that he rules over. That's a king. What did Jesus say to his disciples in Luke 10, 18? He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over every power of the enemy. And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's being a king. That's authority. That's ruling with the authority that God has given to us. We have not taken it to ourselves. He has given it to us. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and shall reign on the earth. There are areas that God has decided that each of us will rule. We will cast out devils. We will advance the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what he called us to do. Hallelujah. Now listen. Why did they sing a new song? Listen and tell me if you agree. Praise God. It says, singing is a spiritual sacrifice unto God. Amen? It's a spiritual sacrifice unto God. And those who are saying that they don't like singing, you need to get your act together. In heaven, there's a lot of singing. 24/7. Amen? And there will be no misfits in heaven. I don't see 10 people singing and one person just catch on lockjaw in heaven. Amen? Because they're going to sing and they're going to worship God. Amen? It says, singing is a spiritual sacrifice unto God. It is a priestly ministry. It is a priestly ministry. In the Old Testament, a new song, watch this, a new song celebrated a new act of divine deliverance or blessing. In other words, when God delivered his people or blessed his people, they started to sing and to praise him and to thank him. Hallelujah. See, there is no unthankfulness in heaven. Amen. Oh, no unthankfulness in heaven, and God wants us to be thankful here on earth. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is also its sense here in this passage. Notice the theme of the song: with your blood you purchased. That's something to celebrate. Amen. That's something to fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with each other. With your blood you purchase men for God. That's reason to fellowship and to celebrate. And when we come together as a church, you know, whether it be on Sundays or on Zoom or whatever it is, you know, we come to fellowship. We come to celebrate. We come to thank God for what he has done and for what he's doing and for what he's going to be doing in the future. So there is always need for celebration. Praise God. Amen. So, I want us now to look at the priestly anointing oil. The priestly anointing oil. Praise God. In our devotions, in our Bible reading a few weeks back, you know, we looked at Exodus 30, verses 22 to 32. We read over it. Amen. Maybe God spoke to you as he spoke to me. But let us look at the anointing oil. Remember now, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had not yet been given. Had not yet been given. Amen. There were a few persons like Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Ezekiel. You know, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit was not yet living in them. So, every priest had to be anointed, and he had to be anointed by an anointing oil that had a special formula. And I want you to take note there. It had to have a God-given formula. It's like there were chemists in the priesthood. They had to put together, you know, X amount and Y amount of each ingredient precisely as the Holy Spirit instructed. This anointing oil. Now, what does anointing mean? Anointing means to set apart, to consecrate, to set apart. That's what anointing means. So when Moses anointed Aaron and Levi and the other priests, what he was doing was he was setting them apart to serve God. Setting them apart. Amen. Praise God.